it was that it worked, to put it back together.
The amount of resources and influence that policymakers within the U.S. government have dedicated to biotechnology could give the impression that the future of global food security is a race. But there's an old saying in some of the communities here, which perhaps can explain why local campesinos aren't rushing to jump on the biotechnology bandwagon. We're not in a hurry because we have a long way to go. For FSRN, I'm Sharon Young with Vladimir Flores in Oaxaca, Mexico.
You've been listening to an FSRN documentary, Corn at the Crossroads, Free Trade, Migration, and Modified Genes in the Cradle of Maize, produced by Shannon Young and Vladimir Flores. Special thanks to producer Taina Gysi and Antonio Ortiz for technical production. You can get a copy of this or any other FSRN documentary by visiting our website at www.fsrn.org. I'm Aura Abogado. Thanks for listening, and join us tomorrow when we return to our regularly scheduled newscast.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the inaugural Portland Youth Poet Laureate Project on Monday, September 28th at 7 p.m., 12 of Portland's poetry ambassadors will compete to become the Portland Youth Poet Laureate. The event will take place in the Artist Repertory Theater, 1515 Southwest Morrison in Portland. Again, that's Portland Youth Poet Laureate Project, a program of Spit Right, Monday, September 28th at 7 p.m. at the Artist Repertory Theater, 1515 Southwest Morrison in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad,
good evening. Greetings and welcome to Prison Pipeline. I'm your host, Adam Carpinelli. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. This evening, we are hoping to get on the phone with Mr. Dorsey Nunn. And Dorsey is Executive Director of Legal Services for Prisoners with Children, based in the Bay Area, and organizer for a conference that just took place in Oakland yesterday and concluded today, as a matter of fact. Also, some other noteworthy things that are happening around that conference is another meeting of former political prisoners, again in the Bay Area around Oakland, talking about national strategies for liberating political prisoners and prisoners of war. And this is a very important event that's also taking place, and some of that's in conjunction with some different organizations that are working nationally around prison abolition and political prisoner amnesty projects. One of those organizations is also the Jericho Movement for Political Prisoner Amnesty. And if you check out the website for Jericho, is thejerichomovement.com. And you can find out more about some of these recent projects that are happening, such as the Truth and Reconciliation Committee. And there's a conference that's also happening in Baltimore this month. So there's a lot of exciting things that are happening. And of course, there are other things happening here in Portland. And I'm just going to take a few minutes to talk about some of that as we try to get Dorsey on the phone. But folks have probably been listening to this program in the last couple of weeks, and you might have heard Peter Clark, who is one of the co-directors for the International Leonard Peltier Defense Offense Committee. And of course, Chauncey Peltier, Leonard's son, lives in the Portland area. And there was a birthday bash for Leonard just the other day, and it went very well. And folks hope to continue to organize different community events in the Portland area. So you can get in touch with them via their website. Just look up whoisleonardpeltier.info, and you can get more information about that. So these are some of the projects that are going on in Portland. Probably the next event related to some of that work will actually be in October, on October 29th. And that'll take place at Portland State University. And that will be a panel called Decolonization and Political Prisoners that will feature Chauncey Peltier, Ajamu Umi from the All-African People's Revolutionary Party, and Mr. Kent Ford, who's a founder of the Black Panther Party here in Portland, and also father of Patrice Lumumba Ford, who's also basically a post-9/11 victim of homeland insecurity. And Kent will be talking about that. So that will take place at Portland State University in the Native American Community Center on campus, October 29th. And that'll be from 7 to 9 p.m. There's a Facebook event, and you'll probably be hearing about it again on this program on Prison Pipeline. So it looks like we got Dorsey on the phone here. How you doing, Dorsey?
Yourself?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. We know you're busy. Could you talk a little bit about legal services for prisoners with children, and also the Bay Area Conference in Oakland?
I said legal services for prisoners with children is about a 35-year-old organization. And what we do out of legal services for prisoners with children is that we do both. We have a litigation strategy as well as an organizing strategy. And under the umbrella of legal services for prisoners with children, we also host the Office of...
We're on the phone here with Dorsey Nunn, Executive Director of Legal Services for Prisoners with Children. And they're based in the Bay Area. He's an organizer for a conference that just took place in Oakland yesterday, specifically around formerly incarcerated persons. And again, there was also a meeting among former political prisoners that happened kind of like the day before, talking about national strategies around political prisoner amnesty. So we're just about to get Dorsey back on the phone here, but it looks like because of reception. So another organization that Dorsey's also with, and we'll have him talk more about that, is an organization called All of Us or None, which is related to some of these organizations as well, and also supports formerly incarcerated persons. So these are some organizations to nationally check out. Locally in Portland, we have Phoenix Rising Transitions. We also have Red Lodge Transitions. So these are other organizations in our area in Portland that do this kind of work, supporting formerly incarcerated persons, trying to get them things that they need. You know, people get out of being locked up for some time. They're given basically a garbage bag to carry their things in, even sometimes a clear bag so people can kind of see what's in there. So these are the kind of things that these organizations are helping people kind of deal with, dealing with reentry and transitions or what have you. So as far as local organizations, check out Phoenix Rising and Red Lodge Transition Projects. And we've had those folks on quite a bit and continue to do that. Again, we'll be getting back on the phone here with Dorsey Nunn, Executive Director of Legal Services for Prisoners with Children based in the Bay Area. I'll take a minute here also to just remind folks, we technically finished our pledge drive here at KABU, but we can always use more support. And we ask you to go ahead and go to KABU.fm. KABU.FM, KBOO.FM, and click on the little jar that's up there for donations, and you can make a donation. You've probably been hearing about it the last couple days. You know, pitching in $5 a month or something like that is a pretty easy thing to do, And so we hope that you can continue to help support KBOO, because we're always fundraising. It's not just a pledge drive thing that we do, you know, every couple of weeks. We always need your support. So it looks like we're back on the phone with Dorsey. Dorsey, you were just talking about the organization and its longevity going back about 30-some-odd years.
Yeah, legal services for prisons go back about 35 years or better.
Wow.
All of Us Anon, which is a project of legal services, go back about 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're just finishing up a two-day conference. You know, it's a conference and summit. And we brought people in, you know, from a number of different states, like Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, Oregon, Washington, Colorado. We had people there from Alabama, North Carolina, Chicago. The first day we just had formerly incarcerated people and their family and their allies in a room talking. You know, we had about 200 or 250 in the room on Sunday.
Wow.
We brought out people from the government today, as well as foundation, as well as nonprofits. We brought people from the Reentry Council, from the Justice Department, as well as the California AG's office. We brought out people that was assistant attorney general, as well as people from the Health and Human Services Department for the government, the Department of Labor. And what we did was presented an expert panel of formerly incarcerated people to testify to the government about the problems that they were having and what they thought should be addressed in regards to their lives. So we did that. We also initiated a Take Two campaign where we are going to drive 2,000 pieces of mail to the White House and to Cory Booker in regards to the Ban the Box campaign that we've been involved in. In regards to the Take Two campaign, we had people sign letters in, which we're going to mail to the White House and to Cory Booker around Ban the Box, in addition to copying them and putting somebody on the plane to hand carry them back to Washington, D.C.
Wow. So it's an exciting conference. Can you talk a little bit about how did this conference come to be? I mean, have you been doing the same conference you know, every year, or is this a new thing? Or
no, in regards to that, it's been a number of us that have been going into, we went into the Justice Department, and we started asking for stuff. Some of the stuff that we asked about was expanding the sites in which people can actually do Pell grants, so formerly incarcerated people would have greater access to changing the career and getting opportunity. So one of the things that happened when we were in the Justice Department was that they agreed to have these regional convenings.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't do one in the South. We did, this is the second one that I've participated in. And we're getting ready to do one in upstate New York in October.
Oh, okay.
So what we're trying to do is to give formerly incarcerated people and their family an opportunity to talk directly to government, because we think the longest distance between us and our freedom could be that in the shoes of a client.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so we're trying to give formerly incarcerated and their families the strength and their voice and have a say-so about what they think is their need. We have people talking about, you know, the right of return.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what happens when our loved ones are living in public housing and we get out of prison and we don't have access? What happens when, in some instances, we could be in like a state of Hawaii and pick up a case in Hawaii as an incarcerated person and they send you to Arizona?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what happens when we get out and we don't have access to employment? And what we think the fairest solution to do is to ban the box, and we ask them to ban the box for private contractors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because 20% of the labor force is being held by contractors and subcontractors. And, you know, and our tax dollars is going towards their jobs. And we think that we should have access to every place that our tax dollar touch.
Mm-hmm.
So that's some of the stuff that we were talking about in the room today. We start talking about what it means to go and somebody snatch your kid, and next thing you know, your kid is in foster care and you no longer have access.
Mm-hmm.
To your
children. Right.
You know, so those are the things that we thought that we needed to talk to the government about. So we talked to the government, we talked to funders about. We talked to funders about that we can't think of any organizations that's being headed by formerly incarcerated people.
Mm-hmm.
And we know a number of real great organizations where anybody has ever received a $1 million grant. So
mm-hmm.
that means that no matter how many people that we have working for us, ultimately, unless we get a greater access to resources, all we're doing is training people for some to go someplace else to work
mm-hmm.
because we can never pay them to scale that makes sense. And if you're a formerly incarcerated person and a poor person of color, most likely you are a first or second generation person that's working in a real job. It means that ultimately you have to move to a better paying job.
Mm-hmm.
And in relationship to, you know, we think that to be able to volunteer, to the most part, is a privilege because only people with money can volunteer extended periods of time,
right.
Or at least got some resources. If you're dead bang broke, you may not have the ability to volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of stuff that we was talking about in the room today.
Mm-hmm.
The day prior to that, which was probably Saturday, we had a different a convening that talked about, you know, political prisoners, because we thought that being that we are resourced a little bit better in the social prisoner sector, what we need to do is share some of the resources so political prisoners could gather and have their own conversation about what they thought their movement should look like.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming up on the end of the Barack Obama's administration. Is anybody going to make a demand that they actually give people clemency and pardons that's not a nonviolent drug person? How about some political prisoners that have been in there for multiple decades that probably should be having access to clemency and other stuff?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we talked about today. You know, one of the reasons that, because I'm still riding in, I still got a truckload of stuff, one of the reasons that I really appreciate the opportunity to interview is to encourage prisoners that's within your earshot range that they should be weighing in and writing the White House and writing Cory Booker letters. You know, and I don't have the information because I'm driving and I'm running outlaw because, you know, they got the earpiece thing and I'm not on the earpiece while I'm driving talking to you. But I'm encouraging people to write my office and get information, and they can contact me at Dorsey Nunn at Legal Services for Prisoners with Children, 1540 Market Street, Suite 490, and the zip code is 94102. And we will provide information, and we even got draft letters that we were willing to send people, or a template to provide to prisoners and their families, so they can actually have a letter to look at while they write the government. Because when we talk about ban the box, we're not just talking about formerly incarcerated people. People are leaving prisons and jails every day of the week.
Mm-hmm. Right. What do you think about possibly a Northwest version up here? You mentioned doing something up in upstate New York soon. Have people talked about doing something like that up here? And the second follow-up question for that would be if that it might be the case, how would people maybe in the Northwest, specifically in Portland that might be listening, be able to kind of maybe plug in, get involved, or kind of learn more about that?
Hey, one of the things that came out the meeting today was we had people in the meeting that was from Oregon, and they're talking about going up to Seattle, starting up All of Us Anon chapter up there.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the ways that they can plug in is contact my office. Let's talk, you know. And my office phone number is area code 415-255-7036, extension 312. And I'm not shy to answer the phone or give you a return call.
Mm-hmm. Great. We'll make sure too that folks should know that they can always get in touch with our program as well, and we can also get you back in touch if you don't get all the information on the program here, and we are streaming, so it'll be back up online soon.
Hey, one of the things I'm gonna do is send you all the documents that we was having people sign today.
Yeah, please do. Yeah. Yeah, and we'll share that with the station as well. People at KBOO have also expressed interest with All of Us or None type related work. And when we were kind of off the phone there, Dorsey, you know, I did mention to some folks who might not be familiar with it, some of our listeners know these programs very well in Portland because of we talk about it on our show a lot, such as Phoenix Rising Transitions and Red Lodge Transitions, who you're familiar with. And so, you know, getting people more plugged into doing this work around formerly incarcerated persons. So there's Ban the Box, there's Writing to the President, because the idea is that we got about a year out, right, that we have kind of a deadline for to really, really drive home this message.
Yes. Yes. You know, I think we got probably about 500 days, or a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to, you know, and it takes a while for the bureaucracy to turn around.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to drive this guy really hard, really, really, really soon, or else he's not going to be able to do nothing. If he did say ban the box and he wants to do something, I don't think that he could implement an executive order without time.
That stuff
takes time.
Right. So, Dorsey, those are two things right there, and a lot of people are familiar with Ban the Box. It's been very successful in the last few years. It's been getting taken up in many states and what have you. What are some other things that people might not be aware of that are other kind of strategies, other work that's going on, that are particular projects that are also helping to support formerly incarcerated persons?
One of the things that we did recently, we just got finished winning the lawsuit with ending long-term solitary confinement in Pelican Bay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so we won that lawsuit, and that was a combination of both a litigation strategy and an organizing strategy,
mm-hmm.
and a hunger strike. Because I need to say, the people who led the work on that part of the work were not formerly incarcerated people, but people in prison.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know,
it was the prisoners themselves.
Prisoners themselves took that up. You know, and you know, the only thing that we did was provide, you know, basically support work and provided them with giving them access to attorneys and stuff, but they settled that lawsuit probably within the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Other stuff that we engaged in, we expanded through a litigation strategy again, expanded the rights to vote for people on post-release supervision,
mm-hmm. right,
in California. So that's some of the type of work that we engaged in. A number of us is getting ready to fly into D.C. because some of us want to address the question of not only what's happening here. We're looking at how do we actually organize a movement. So we're looking mm-hmm. at how to do
right.
this stuff nationally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's what we engaged in. It's a national perspective. So when I'm doing the regional meetings and there's other regional meetings, we're pushing out as collectively as we can, how to involve formerly incarcerated people and their families and their allies in a more consistent way,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we can't win unless everybody starts fighting back.
Right, right. You know, Dorsey, you mentioned a point there that I thought was interesting, which is that, you know, around a lot of this activism, some of the work that I'm involved in myself is a non-formerly incarcerated person, that there are a lot of people doing this work. They might not have had that experience being locked up, but they're doing that support work. And sometimes there's that question of how is that working, that, you know, there are people that are not formerly incarcerated, not from the families or what have you, they're doing the work, and then you have families and persons who were formerly incarcerated and bringing that together. What do you say is kind of a strategy for people who were maybe doing that kind of activism and maybe kind of not just doing a better job of it per se, but kind of how do you really do it? I mean, what would be kind of your advice on that?
My advice would be, I think everybody should join something,
mm-hmm.
you know, Because you don't necessarily have to be formally incarcerated to engage in this fight or be a family member.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these events that I pulled off for the last couple of days, we had people, we brought in buses from Riverside, California, Los Angeles, California, put them up at a hotel. All that wasn't just did by formerly incarcerated people and their families. We had support from allies and everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
We had to feed, you know, for the last couple of days, we had to feed over 200 people breakfast and lunch at
wow.
this thing. That, you know, so it's like, you know, so it's like, you know, people beg for money. People, you know, people got skills. You get in where you fit in. But one of the things that I suggest is that when you're doing this particular type of work, that you make sure that you're involved for the incarcerated people, you know, and look for, you know, where's the intersection? Where's the, where can you make that connection at, you know?
Mm-hmm. So were there organizations that, that showed up that you weren't familiar with, or was it kind of organizing whereby you're already familiar with the groups and the people and then kind of getting everybody into the room, or how what did that look like exactly?
You know, most of them I was familiar with. A lot of them I was familiar with. You know, there was people that I brought out from Chicago just to show them the motto.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at this. This is what we're doing here. There was people I brought from different states because, like, you know, we got to learn how to, you know, pony up and bring people into different from different places to do mm-hmm. certain kind of work, you know, because we can share information. I don't know it all down here. That's anybody else.
But, sure.
You know, so, but anyway, before I get pulled over, I'm going to have to get out the car because I can see a highway patrol back there weaving in and out.
Okay. Well, Dorsey, thanks for being on so much. And again, we just remind people to check out legal services for prisoners with children based in the Bay Area and All of Us or None, and get in touch with Dorsey Nunn, who we're just speaking to right now. And you can also contact our program, Prison Pipeline, for more information. And we'll be sure to, next time I'm back up here, I will give an update too, with any new information, Dorsey, about, you know, any of the conferences and, the, national writing, project, letter writing project too.
Hey, and one of the things that, you know, I probably should say is that work around political prisoners could get real exciting, because I think that they actually put in a whole bunch of conversations this weekend about that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you great. Know? Is there any place for updates on that? Have a great night. Thanks so much.
All right.
So you've been listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland. We want to thank our guest. That was Dorsey Nunn, who's the Executive Director of Legal Services for Prisoners with Children. They're based in the Bay Area. So you can check out their website. The program, Prison Pipeline, will try to give you some updates as to how you can get involved with some of these larger projects that are going on, how we can get more involved here in the Northwest around that kind of work, too. Kind of bridging that gap with families of former incarcerated persons, the prisoners who were locked up themselves, and of course all the activism that's going on in the area too. So on that same note too, which is really noteworthy, again, is that we have a program that we're doing every couple weeks on Prison Pipeline, and we are featuring the voices of detained youth at McLaren. If you're not familiar with McLaren, that is the McLaren Youth Detention Facility in Woodburn, Oregon. It's just less than an hour outside of Portland here. And we have youth that are producing and recording programming that we're airing on Prison Pipeline. And they have a lot of very, very interesting things to say. Some very sharp individuals, and they've been learning some great skills. Also, as related to, you know, partnership with KBOO Radio and getting training for doing this kind of programming and stuff. So make sure you tune in. That's going to be next week, next Monday, youth at McLaren Youth Detention Facility in Woodburn. So listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. Again, I want to thank our guest Dorsey Nunn, Legal Services for Prisoners with Children. Check it out. That's in the Bay Area. They just had their conference, you know, organizing formerly incarcerated persons. So we hope that we can continue that work nationally and also up here in Portland. So we'll continue to hook up with them. Thanks to our lovely engineer, Danielle Parks. Have a great evening. Free them all, and we'll see you next week. I am a free-
can't roller skate in the buffalo herd. Can't roller skate in the buffalo herd. You can't roller skate in the buffalo herd. But you can be happy if you've mind to.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Buffalo Field Campaign 2015 Roadshow, hosted Wednesday, September 23rd at 7 p.m. at Bison Coffee House in Portland. The event will feature stories and songs about the last wild buffalo and information about the ongoing struggle to protect them. That's the Buffalo Field Campaign 2015 Roadshow, Wednesday, September 23rd, 7 p.m. at the Bison Coffee House, 3941 Northeast Cully Boulevard in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
You can't roller skate in the buffalo herd. You can't roller skate in the buffalo herd.
Please join us for KBOO's annual meeting, Sunday, September 27th from noon to 4 p.m. at Portland State University's Native American Student and Community Center, 710 Southwest Jackson Street in Portland. The event will feature keynote speaker Joanne Hardesty and music from Bajo Salario Collective Band. Light refreshments will be provided. Board candidate ballots will be accepted until 2 p.m., and board election results will be announced at 3:50 p.m. Again, that's KBOO's annual meeting, Sunday, September 27th from noon to 4 p.m. at the Native American Student and Community Center at PSU. More information can be found at kboo.fm.